Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Matty Gladden Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This four-year-aged bourbon is double-pot distilled and non-chill filtered and has a full-bodied mouthfeel with eucalyptus, molasses, clove, ginger, and slight citrus as well as grains of paradise. The finish is long and reappearing on the back of the tongue with notes of pepper, tobacco leaf, and mint cream. All of our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain, please enjoy responsibly, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back to another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Let me reset that for the end. I got it. It's a dual podcast tonight with from Anderson, South Carolina, Mr. Martin Nash, Super Nash, extraordinaire for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Welcome, Super Nash, to another awesome podcast.
And welcome, Tiny, in the main bar in
Ohio. Yeah, it's kind of like the new setup. We both keep increasing our setup to be a little bit better each time, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, yeah. And I can't wait for here in just a couple of weeks for you to see my new bar setup. I've got all the pieces ordered, and they should be in here within the coming week. And, my new shelving, which is going to come together because I have run out of space and places to put bottles of whiskey. I've got so many open bottles. I've done so many giveaways, and it's still just not enough room. So, which brings us, we are going to be doing a Christmas giveaway. Details to come. So, if you like bourbon, you like whiskey, you like rye, stay tuned to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys podcast because we got something great, great things happening.
Yeah, for sure. Just remember, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Our podcast is on all podcast formats, Apple, Deezer. I mean, whatever you want to listen to us in a podcast format, iHeartRadio, we're there. So just make sure when you listen, if you like what you hear, please subscribe and also leave feedback. Feedback is very important. As we get bigger, we need that feedback. There's no doubt about it. But just then remember, we are on Facebook. All right, we have a Facebook group. We have a Facebook page. We're on Twitter at Scotchy The. We're on Instagram, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We are on Patreon. You can get to us through our website, www.scotchybourbon.com. Top right hand corner, hit that Patreon. You're there. You can support us. Please support us. All the support that we get monthly from Patreon goes back into the podcast. You become a supporter. You can get Glencairn's Scotchy Bourbon Boy t-shirts, these Glencairn's that Martin Duffy of the
North American Glencairn representative.
Yes, glass representative has guided us in the right direction. And then also we are on YouTube. This podcast.
Yeah, and I hate to interrupt you, but
interrupt away.
Importantly, we are on YouTube, and that is going to be a part. That was a big part of our last 10 bottle giveaway, pushing our YouTube page. And I guarantee you, you want to tune in because that's going to be a big, important part of our next giveaway, our Christmas giveaway. And who better than to get a big Christmas bourbon whiskey present in the mail and to help us out and to grow our YouTube page. But not only that, but you get to see us wild and crazy guys on YouTube and see some of the crazy stuff that happens during our podcast, right?
Right. And I've been working on a bunch of YouTube videos. We're a little bit behind, but we will be getting these up. It just comes down to there's a lot of editing that goes in. We're kind of trying to do this a little bit better. And the further this goes, the better we get. Except like tonight, I'm just looking around and I'm supposed to have a set of glasses somewhere. And they don't. No, they're not hanging on my shirt. They're not where they're supposed to be. I was all over the place. They could be anywhere. But at the same time, just know that if I'm reading. Yeah, like that's going to help me when I'm doing the reading off this small frickin' type. And that's usually when it's so funny. I even know where the other set is. I mean, how does it disappear so well? Maybe they fell on the floor. Anyways, another.
You were showing me your new chair there.
Yeah, when I got up and showed the chair and then everything fell. Ah, they are on the floor right under my new chair. But that gives everybody on YouTube a chance to see the new chair. Yeah, they were underneath completely. And this chair, spent a little bucks on it. I think I'll probably get another one if it works out for the guests so that everybody's sitting in the same chairs when they're here. But at the same time, this is a pretty nice one. I've been a lot more comfortable editing in this particular chair. Not that anyone gives a shit about chairs these days. They want to hear about whiskey. And what we have tonight is kind of a special podcast. We are going to be reviewing Super Nash's 5 bourbons he suggests that you have in your collection. It was a pretty successful last podcast. We're up a little bit than the first. When we get the first week, there's always a goal for me, and we've hit that goal and gone over on downloads from last week's podcast. And then Super Nash's 5 should really interest people. We'll push that aspect of it. But then also, we are going to be tasting and barrel bashing something that's very exciting. We are going to be doing it with the Little Book Chapter 5. And I'm so excited about this because... Absolutely. So, just to review some of the stuff that's coming up with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, Super Nash and I are going to be on December 4th down in Salem, right in Salem, Indiana, right in that area, with Alan Bishop, who you heard start up the opening from the Spirit of French Lick, and Bo Cumberland, well-known whiskey documentary cinematographer, has been shooting a documentary on Alan, and we are invited to Alan's farm for the Saturday, the December 4th, and myself, Xavier, and Super Nash are going to be down there, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and we are going to be talking and helping out, hopefully, with reenactments and all the fun stuff that's going to be going on the farm and getting to taste some very, very good distilled alcoholic beverages. There's no doubt about that. So we are looking forward to going down with Alan on December 4th. And then also myself and Xavier next week, or this Saturday, this coming Saturday, are headed to the Dayton Barrel Works, which is about 3 hours away from us in Dayton, Ohio. We're in Canton, Ohio, but we're going to make the trek down. Bill Hockett and his ownership are having a bourbon event. That starts at 12, so we're going to get down there about 10:30, podcast with Bill. Bill was one of the first distillers in this area that I met, but he was on his way out. Gervasi which me and Xavier and Supernash have gone to many times. They have a distillery, and he was running that distillery and in the process of leaving to go to the Dayton Barrel Works right as I met him. So I get to...
That was when I came up there for my first trip, and we went through, and he gave us the distillery tour and all that.
Yep. So, right. And so when we go down and see, it's kind of like I haven't seen him for a while, and we can't wait to get down there, say hi, and then once again, drink some good whiskey with Bill and bourbon and just see what they're doing down there. I'm excited, and we'll promote it. I should be able to bring some stuff back and do a podcast or two with it. And we'll see how that goes. I'll have to get you some samples because then I'll see you and I'll pour some out and we'll barrel bash Bill's stuff, right? Oh yeah, it's tiny. Oh my God, tiny. Yes, and I can tell you the bottles won't have fucking labels, you psycho.
I didn't expect it for the first samples coming from you.
Yeah, that is not the first samples. I have sent you samples.
I'm going off on you there, Tiny. Oh my gosh, we got a watch call.
Yeah, it was a friend I've been trying to get a hold of for at least a month now, and then my wife just gave me a thumbs up that her job was successful. So that was a good thing. Roxy's should be.
That's always a good thing.
Because wow.
Very important job.
Yeah. And then a friend texted me that I'm supposed to call him at lunch. So I'll do that. So we are live and things are happening. I mean, that's just kind of cool. Yeah, sure. It's just happening. But I'd like to get in. To
our sponsors.
Yes, the Spirit of French Lick. You heard Alan Bishop, and they do. I mean, this distillery started in 2000, I believe, 15, and
West Baden Springs, Indiana.
Yeah, and they are the largest pot still distillery in Indiana. The Spirit of French Lick is leading the way, representing both quality of the Hoosier artesian distilling process while paying tribute to its inseparable past and the many pre-Prohibition era distilleries that once dotted the hills of southern Indiana. By implementing best practices from those early times with improved modern methods, Spirit of French Lick has created a unique place in the industry, not only in terms of its story, but also in methodology, double pot still distillation, retention, and concentration of flavor and aroma, which makes them follow their motto, respect the grain. And that was one of the things when I first went down there and met at the time Jolie Kasperzak for the first time and Alan, and how awesome they were. That's one thing that I did see. That Alan really loves to utilize yeast and grain in his.
Friday and got to hang out a little bit with Dale.
Yeah, which was cool. Once again, you motherfucker. it's like the.
I got to sip on.
How does it? How does that?
The bourbons. The new Kasha. Blend bourbon, which is the toasted buckwheat bourbon.
Yeah, which is the Morning Glory, right?
Yeah, the Morning Glory.
Yeah, and it's just like it sounds delicious. I actually like buckwheat. I mean, I don't know how much, whatever. But once again, you're hemming and hawing, going, I don't think I'm going to make the weekend with Alan because the last weekend we were it was at the 13th, right? And then the 13th. And Alan ended up not feeling well, and you're not going to do a documentary when you're not feeling well. So he's not even sure he's going to go for at least a month. I don't think I can do it. Hey, Tiny, I don't think I can do it. I'm too busy. Yeah. So then we're getting close, and it's Wednesday, and Alan's not feeling good, and all of a sudden they're talking about maybe rescheduling, and it turns out. Hold on a sec. his guy. It turns out that Super Nash books it as he always does, instead of just going up on Saturday, you know, hanging out with Alan and then going home on Sunday. He's leaving on Thursday morning. I mean, we're talking about Thursday morning. He's got all day Thursday, all day Friday, and then
6:30 a.m. Thursday morning. And I was actually sitting in my driveway when Kimberly, oops, I had the car cranked up. I was warming it up. All of a sudden, Kimberly sends a text through. It's like, everybody better put a hold on everything because Alan might not be feeling too well. And we might have to put a hold on this. I was like, oh,
yeah.
On my way.
Yeah, he's already driving. And I'm like, so now he's like before that, he would have had to like pay attention, get there on Saturday. Now it's just all holds off bar, straight up bourbon hunting and distilleries and whatever. And I'm just like, how am I stuck here? And I was the one that was gonna go, and now he's there and he's full out bottling his own fucking bourbon at fucking Heaven Hill. I was supposed to do that and they went on fucking strike. Now he's doing it. Everything, it's all about Super Nash. He's always one step ahead of me.
That's why I'm going to do it again so that I can get a second bottle for you this next time, brother.
You, so this time. I fucking book. It gets rescheduled for Saturday, December 4th. So I booked the hotel two nights. I said, well, I'll book it Friday. We'll get down there Friday and then whatever. And then we could do some stuff. And then Saturday we can do, and then we'll do something Sunday. Once again, he's like, well, I don't know. I did this, but I'm going to make this happen. He kind of committed a lot quicker this time. But yet now again, well, I'm leaving Thursday morning. And I'm gonna go back and just rub it in your face, and I'm gonna bottle another bottle for myself, for me. Yeah, he's gonna bottle your own and fill one for me. You're so fucking generous.
And they're gonna run out of this stuff, and that's what I was afraid of. They're gonna run out before you have a chance to do it. And once it's run out, it's gone. And this is the one time only 10 barrels of this bourbon.
Oh, my God. So anyways, we're going down December 4th. It's going to be a blast. On the 5th, I basically did what I do. No, the 3rd is Friday. The 4th is Alan. But on the 5th.
I'm going the 3rd. I'm sorry.
Well, you're going to be actually, I think you're going the 2nd.
The 2nd.
Yeah. So the 5th.
Peace, brother.
But in the 5th, I've come up with something so that I can, on the way home, we're going to be stopping off in Bardstown and seeing Sandy No.
That's where you whip me right here.
Well, I got to do something.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. You were doing.
Here's where you spank me, right here.
You do. You do a ton of stuff that everybody else can do. But I get the stuff that nobody else can.
Make up for it. So here's where you're gonna spank me.
Yeah, and on Saturday, I mean, it's like I don't think there's gonna be. I think that's gonna be one of the coolest things that we've done. I mean, just. Alan has been such a good friend and a Scotchy bourbon boy. And so has Bo and, you know, even Kimberly's part of it. And then who else? Benjamin Eves, Ben Eves. He's going to be there. Yeah. All Scotchy bourbon boys, all people in the thing. I hope Kevin Rose makes it because I usually, and Christy Atkinson, I'm looking forward to this so much. So anyways, we should get into what your 5 bourbons are. Now you don't have to go too much into detail you know, but you got to kind of cover why these bourbons should be a part of your collection.
Yes. All right. And what I did was I wanted to pick a bourbon that was like an easy accessible or fairly easily accessible and at a good price point bourbon and easily drinkable or mixable bourbon. And so, I mean, there's so many out there, and one of my favorites, and I thought that everybody should have, is Buffalo Trace. And I had to think long and hard about this. And the reason I picked Buffalo Trace is because it's got a really pleasant nose of caramel, honey, orange, and vanilla. The flavor is balanced pretty well with sweet and mellow notes of brown sugar, vanilla, and toffee. So the palate is maybe sweet for some, but it's pretty probably enjoyable for most, and light amounts of oak and rye spice round out the palate. And the finish, it's moderate length with a finish of oak at the forefront, and opens up and develops ultimately with the vanilla and just a little bit of oak on the finish. So, and it's a 90 proof bourbon. And like I said, at a price point of $25, you know, basically. And the best thing is at Buffalo Trace bourbons, you get a lot of store picks out there. And you can find the store picks out there, which are actually, if you think about it, they're single barrels.
Yeah, the store picks are phenomenal.
Yeah, and those get to be pretty phenomenal store picks. Now, although it goes up from like $25 MSRP normally to about $35 when you get the store picks, they're worth it to me. And like I said, that was like pretty much my, oh, I love that pop.
Yeah, that pop was pretty nice off this.
I hear what you're doing there. So pretty much, like I said, that's why that was like my bottom shelf bourbon pick. And I wanted to pick something from the bottom shelf to have in my
You can't call that. It's not bottom shelf. It's Jack Daniel's, Jim Beam level. Bottom shelf is Ancient Age and Benchmark, and that's their small batch.
That's, to me, like I say,
25.
Not bottom shelf, but, you know, lower level.
No, that is your kind of everyday drinker that isn't something special. Although, if you live in some states, everybody thinks it's fucking special.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people that do think, and believe you me, look, it's not nothing, and don't get me wrong, don't go out there paying $50, $60, $80 for a bottle of this stuff. You know, it's good at the price point that it is when you can find it, okay?
Yeah, I agree.
That's why I put it in my collection, because that's, and I recommend it to have it in yours when you can find it at that price point.
Yeah, the price.
It's a good sipper at the $25 to $35 if you find it at a store pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's $24.99 in the small batch. I find it drinkable. I mean, it's a fucking drinkable. Like, you start sipping on it, the whole bottle can be gone before the night's over. Caramel, you know, it just has a 90 proof silkiness to it, and then it's not harsh. It's a, you know, so Buffalo Trace does a nice job on that. But like I said to you, when you sent me the damn store picks, those single barrels just blow away the small batch. It's just like, it's so caramel. It comes into a level of whiskey that's, it's just out of this world. It drinks like a $150 bottle, not like a $30 store pick.
I would say 150, but yeah, it steps right on up there to the $80 to $100 range.
I mean, it's
into those store picks and the single barrels.
I'm telling you that I the old Fitzgerald 16, which I think is 229, and Buffalo Trace store pick. I'm gonna tell you, the caramel and the sweetness of it and the finish of it and everything on those single barrels. I think I prefer that over the old Fitzgerald 16 year, which has a little oaky woody kind of thing going on.
Is when you get to a regular Buffalo Trace bottle, we're talking, you know, what, 60, 80 barrels, maybe 100 barrels that are blended together.
I think they said 60 went on the tour. Yes.
Yeah. Something like 60 barrels that are blended together to create this flavor.
Small batch. Yeah.
But yeah, when you get a single barrel, yeah, you get some pretty unique flavors that come out of it. And so that's why I picked Buffalo Trace as my first pick of the day to be in your collection. All right. So if you can get it at a $25 price range for the regular Buffalo Trace, but I encourage you to go out there and you pay homage to your stores that get those barrel picks and go out there and you know, it's worth the extra $10 to get the barrel pick.
Yeah, if you could find it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Lately, they've been sparse.
Yes, yes. Now, my second one, as you know, I've always been a Brown & Forman fan because of just the history that they have in bourbon and whiskey. And so I recommend that everybody, this is what they come up with, the Prohibition Style 1920. And this comes in at 115 proof. And they come out with a series of five of these. And what I think that Old Forester did was to combat Buffalo Trace coming out with their antique collections and things like that. E.H. Taylor with their small batch, single barrel, bottled and bond, and all of the expressions that they're coming out with and all. Well, this is their shelving and marketing type deal, you might want to say. Well, they come out with this, and this is like about a $50 to $60 price range bottle, and it's about 115 proof. And the flavors on this is just phenomenal. And I recommend that everybody have it in there. Basically because it's just phenomenal. The aroma is rich and powerful. It's got dark fruit, burnt brown sugar, chocolate, and one of the best things that I like about Old Forester is the yeast and stuff that they use in their distilling process.
We learned about this, my friend.
Bananas.
And you know it isn't the yeast.
It's something. But
Wait. I got in trouble in Moonshine University because I was talking about it. I wish I had the kit right here, but it was one of the not so good flavors that happen in the heads. Right at the end of the heads going into the tails, that alcohol, that part of the alcohol that's in there, like it's not acetone or whatever, but whatever ethyl alcohol, whatever is at that part of the tails that is in there, they leave a, I mean, not the tails, the heads, they leave a little bit in there, which causes the banana flavor. I mean, they actually, we actually got to smell that part of the heads, and that smelled like bananas. I mean, and it was just like, well, when we did that, I, when we're doing that smelling, remember I said, that's what's in Old Forester.
You're right.
And then they start throwing out Old Forester. And I was like, I, it was one of my, tiny moments. I was, it was in.
I'm so glad you called me out on it right now and corrected me before the whole world,
corrected you. Cause we've talked about this in the podcast before. Yeah. So the banana flavor, yes, it comes from there. We learned that. Yeah. And I could pick out Old Forester, obviously, out of a lineup. That yes. Blind.
And me too. And that's one of the things that I love about Old Forester is because of the bananas always being in so many of their expressions, being in the nose or the palate.
86 and 114. I mean, 86 and 100 proof.
Yep. That's right.
There you go.
And basically, like say, it's a big, bold, immediately likable richness of the barrel char, dark chocolate, and then you get sweet caramel, and then it's like a creme brulee coming from this 120. And then all of a sudden you get nuttiness and then smokiness and then just a little bit of hint of coffee. The best thing is it's sort of almost reminds you of like some of the Old Forester birthday bourbons, which I think you got to taste there a couple of times there, Tiny.
Yeah, you've mostly the birthday bourbons happen when we're together in Kentucky and you find a bar that's got pours of birthday bourbons and all of a sudden we're birthday bourboning away.
That's right. But, and then it's, like I say, it's got a good grape finish on it. It's got allspice, black pepper, and then it quickly dissipates and lingering to the new flavors of the dark chocolate and a little bit of barrel char and nuttiness. And then it just a nice, good finish to it and a good little hug. But one of the uniqueness things that come to mind about it is that it's just a really good bourbon at a price point, like I say, that to me, I value it right up there along with like E.H. Taylor single barrels. And some of the $100 to $150 bourbons.
I've been lately liking the small batch on E.H. Taylor more than I've been liking the single barrels. But also, I'd like to throw out to people out there that if you know you're not gonna, you don't want to spend the money, the $50 to $60 on like the 1910, 1920, that line, the old Forester 100, which is a bottom shelf. It's part of their bottom shelf brand, but that Old Forester 100 is one of the more surprising lower shelf bourbons. I mean, blind, I picked it over 1910 and 1920. So give that a try too, if you're out there, you know, when you're absolutely looking for something, because the banana on that is fantastic.
Old Forester does fantastic things with their distilling.
Oh, Brown-Forman. I mean, you're talking about Woodford Reserve, Old Forester and Jack Daniels and all the different expressions. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, it's, they just know what they're doing. They make some damn good whiskey.
And their blending process. It's all a process of everything.
Yep.
But like I said, you know, at that price point, at $50 to $60, I put it right up there with $100 to $150 bourbons.
Yeah. I mean, it's it.
That's why I put that at my number two must have in your bourbon collection.
All right. So we're on number three.
That moves us on to our number three, which is Knob Creek Single Barrel Select 120 proof, and which this just happens to be a store pick, in which there is a lot of single barrel select store picks out there.
That's a cool label you got there.
Yes, this one actually happens to be a barrel 4850 hand selected by Top 10 Liquors Fred No.
Ooh. What is the date on that Knob Creek single barrel store pick? How old is that?
I actually got this in 2019.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when was it says on it when it was barreled and when it was put in the barrel and when it was emptied. Or doesn't that one in 2019 have that on there?
No, it does not.
Okay. Because the store picks now, I mean, remember what you were sending up last year when we had our one meeting? You were sending me up Knob Creek 15-year-old store pick selects. They were right as the 15-year-old came out. And those two bottles, me and Young Nose probably slammed the shit out of those two. I think we drank both bottles in 2 weeks. It was absolutely spectacular, those 15-year store picks. Now it's back down to 10-year.
I'm pretty sure that, like I say, I got this one in 2019 was when this one was picked.
I agree. I think it was between the Knob Creek for me and the Booker's, but that's when I was putting them in the, it was one or the other. I didn't want to override the five with too much Jim Beam, even though I probably could have put it in there, all Jim Beam products.
Yeah. And the reason that I picked this Knob Creek single barrel is because it's like at 120 proof, and all of these, even the store pick selects, they're all valued at anywhere from like 38 to, well, now like $40 to $50. You can get them $40, $50 per bottle.
I saw a single barrel store pick that I picked up at the last, in September, or was it August when I went down there? Yeah, when I went down and I picked it up from the our favorite Bardstown Bourbon or Bardstown liquor store that we go to. They had it, and I think it was 40, like you said, $45.
Yeah.
You could just pick it up. And then I think the regular Knob Creek is like 30, you know, it's just $10 more, and you're getting this flavor bomb that out of it. So,
yeah. And like I said, this is a single barrel. And like I say, it's a store pick.
Well, everybody has them, though. A lot of people, a lot of liquor stores. It's not like the Party Source has it. Everywhere you go in, it's a major, you know, Liquor Barn, Total Wine, all have Knob Creek store picks. So it's just available.
The reason is because it's readily available and should be available to everybody across the United States. And not even that, but even restaurants have them.
Yeah, that one I
steakhouse, even they even have their own
the bar restaurants. Yeah, I think it was called the Brew Pub that I picked up, and then it was only so close to the pick we had for Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Even festivals have them.
Just let me give you just a few notes on this. This is like on the nose. It's very sweet, brown sugar and caramel at first, and then apple on top of it to follow. And it packs, then it packs a good amount of spice that makes your nose tingle a little bit. And then on the back end of it, just maybe just a little bit of leather. And then on the palate, at first you think the sip is going to be harsh, but because of 120 proof. But then all of a sudden it's a rich, creamy sweetness. And then definitely you start focusing on the flavor of vanilla, maple syrup, brown sugar. And then the nose is just foreshadowed by all of that. And then all of a sudden, then you come to the finish. It's hot and long-lasting, full of cinnamon, oak, and a little bit of leather. And it's not a dry leather. It's a sweetness from the nose, and the palate carries through all the way to the end. And so that's why, after my extensive collection and thinking about it long and hard, that had to be in one of my top picks. As far as value, overall taste, and having to be in my recommendations, being in your bourbon collection, or, you know, just being in your drinking collection.
Okay.
Which brings me up to number four. Everybody knows that, or that knows me, loves that I love wheated bourbons, are mostly my favorite. So you know that I have to have Maker's Mark in my recommendations. And now that these Stave Private Selection, Stave Profile, Maker's Mark that are out, I recommend that, and I mean, these are everywhere, because bars, restaurants, I mean, even, you know, clubs, bourbon clubs are doing these.
Liquor stores, yeah. Those Stave collections are out there. And then realistically, all I got to say is that what Maker's Mark is picking for its own at the distillery, or what they release into Ohio, has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, the toasted marshmallows, chocolate almond, cinnamon dolce, all these different flavors are absolutely spectacular. And from what that's honeysuckle.
Yes, yeah. That's honeysuckle, which I got notes on them.
And I think you picked that up here. You picked that one honeysuckle up here in Ohio when we were going around, because you saw how every single store had something different.
Yes, they did. They absolutely did. And I did have a little bit of... Oh, I didn't want to say so. But yeah, the Maker's Mark process of this is that the private selection program is the one and only time that we hand over the keys and let the fellow bourbon lovers craft their own taste versions of Maker Mark. They get to pick from five different stave profiles, or a combination of 10 virgin oak finishing staves among five stave choices. Baked American Pure, Maker's Mark, Maker's 46, Mocha, Cuvée, and Spice. Each accentuates different naturally occurring notes in our bourbon. And you can get one of 1,001 different combinations to create your own profile. And that's what these bars and restaurants are doing. And like this one here, just to give the profile on this one, this is called Honeysuckle. And I picked this up. This is an Ohio State pick only, that I did pick up when I was up there last Christmas, matter of fact, with Tiny.
Yep. You did some bourbon hunting?
4 baked American Pure, 1 seared French Cuvée, 1 Maker's Mark 46, and 4 toasted French Spice. And this is kind of what the tasting notes and stuff on this is. And it's at 112.6 proof. And all these private selection Maker's Mark stave profiles go for about $75 per bottle. It's on the nose. It's true to its name. It's pure notes of honey, and under notes of vanilla. And then it gives way to a little bit of floral, maybe just a little bit of grassy notes. And after that, then all of a sudden on the palate, it's very thick and syrupy mouthfeel, immediately apparent, and it leads to a nose of very strong notes of honey, vanilla, and then all of a sudden a very, very sweet bourbon. And then the honey and vanilla give way to candy corn, which finishes in just a little bit of oak and finishes off relatively long for light and sweet nose that are, you know, that it gives, that it lasts really long, but it doesn't finish very harsh. And so overall, you're getting a really good, sweet finishing bourbon. And like I say, it's just, every one of them is unique and different. And I like Maker's Mark and all their expressions, everything from the 46 to everything that they're doing down there, the cash strengths, regular Maker's Mark and all that.
101.
Yeah, the 101, the holiday expressions, everything they're doing, I like them all. And I had to, and I just like tweeted bourbon, so I had to add that as my number four pick in the my must-have in your collection. So that leads me to number five. You always got to have a rye whiskey in your collection, and that's just in case you want to have a whiskey sour, an old fashioned, or, you know, to me, I still like sipping on rye because I like meat, because I like the rye spices, the creaminess and stuff like that of it. And so that brings me to number five, which is I chose Michter's single barrel
straight rye
whiskey. And which Jeff knows that Michter's is like my number one distillery. Always has been, and probably, well, I don't know. You know, I like them all. But
yeah, his Super Nash's number one distillery is whatever distillery he's at.
There you go. Yeah, he solved the riddle right there.
Yeah, it's funny because that's we don't know anybody at Michter's, and we're, you know, from the Scotchy Bourbon point of view, we know quite a few people. You know, we met Brent from Four Roses.
I know somebody I'd like to get to know is Jackie Zekin.
Right, yeah, from Michter's. But who's the master distiller at Four Roses? Brent, come on.
Brent Elliott.
Yeah, Brent, thank you. It's just my brain, it's not there. But Brent Elliott, we've met him now, and we're going to pursue some Four Roses type stuff. I mean, for God's sake, and Jim Beam, knowing Freddie, and Sandy know. It doesn't get much better than that. And we're just starting, you know, Harlan Wheatley kind of knows us now from Buffalo Trace, which, you know, I can honestly say there's a chance that it just depends on what day, whether it's Michter's or Buffalo Trace, because you love it all, like you said. But let's the Michter's Rye, which, you know, I did say the top five bourbons, you know, for a collection, and you put the rye in, but in defense of yourself, from me, is I also put the sour mash Michter's in. It's like anything from Michter's is good, and you have to have something from Michter's in that collection. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we covered Beam, we've covered Maker's Mark. You're talking about, you did Brown Foreman old, you know, and Buffalo Trace. I mean, if it was 10, we easily would put other distilleries in there.
It we'd put a whole heck of a lot of distilleries in it, but that's what made this so hard.
But remember, we were trying to get stuff that you can obtain. This is what we're telling somebody that's starting out in their collection, and they've started to get into collection, what they need in their collection. And you can't tell them, like, I did put an honorable mention to Maddie Gladden from the Spirit of French Lick. And I did that because I really think that it should be in your collection, but you know, not everybody can get to Indiana, and it's really kind of limited what you can pick up off the internet. So it's not easy to get Spirit of French Lick stuff if you're not in the area.
Well, yeah. And like I say, I put this in there because, like I say, I like to have a rye.
Yeah.
Because you need it. And I didn't do what you did. I didn't put an unobtainable Michter's toasted barrel rye.
No, I put a toasted barrel sour mash. And it's not, I said any toasted barrel. And did I or did I not, here in Ohio, pick you up a barrel-proof rye, a Michter's barrel-proof rye, and bring it down to you?
Barrel-proof rye,
yeah,
but not a toasted barrel.
Yeah, but it's, they come out the same way. If you're paying attention, you can pull one here or there. It's just you got to try. You know, and this is one thing I said, you have to try.
Yeah. Those additions, like I say, and I started to put a barrel proof rye because I really like the barrel proof rye.
Oh, that's the toasted barrel proof rye that Michter's did is better than most bourbons on the planet. I mean, you know, I don't like
what you got me was just a regular barrel
proof rye. Yeah.
In which I like those, and I really like that barrel proof rye, just the regular barrel proof rye. It's a really good drinking rye. It is a little bit better than the single barrel. It's a higher proof. Okay. And I started to put that in here, but I didn't see it as quite as obtainable as the single barrel.
Right.
Barrel, you can pretty much find this on the shelf, and it's this good. Ooh,
you can find that more than you can find the Michter's bourbon. The rye is pretty much on the shelf here in Ohio all the time. Yeah. The bourbon disappears for a month and comes back, and it's on the on. You know, it's there, but it's a limited. You know, but overall, you can.
I'm checking. I just want to be sure. I think it's right around. I think it's about.
$49.99
for this.
Yeah, both of them, the single barrel rye and the Michter's bourbon are $49.99.
Okay,
both of them. I mean, it's just a price you're gonna pay. I know that because they're side by side and they're $49.99, and I just right before this all hit, we're going to be
because it's just like the US one American whiskey. They're all right there around $50.
Yep. Right. So, all right, that's a good what would you say, five to have for everybody's collection, and a detail.
I did want to throw in an honorable mention, but I pulled it back. But I will throw it out there anyway, because matter of fact, talk about something, because we got another sponsor coming up, and I will be right back with my honorable mention.
All right, so. Everybody, the Logstill Distillery, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, support them. Wally Dant, Lynn Dant, and Charlie Dant. We've been down to the distillery and what they're doing in, Gethsemane, Kentucky, right there, bringing back, a community that when the initial Logstill Distillery gave up their rights and sold to Heaven Hill, pretty much the distilling died in that area, and that was in the 50s. But Wally and Lynn and Charlie are doing their best to bring back Dant Crossing. They never lost the land, and the old distillery was still there when Wally decided that he wanted to get back into the business. And the Log Still Distillery, they're doing it correctly, getting back into the distillery. They've got the Monk's Road gins and bourbon. They're working on Tennessee whiskey right now that they should be releasing soon. But their humble beginnings trace back to 1836 when their forefather used an old hollowed out popular log to fashion a still. Kentucky bourbon has flowed through their family's veins ever since. Today, they pay homage to their family legacy with Dant Crossing, a 300-acre destination in Gethsemane, Kentucky, that is anchored by Log Still Distillery, home to their Monk's Road premier bourbon and gins. Dant Crossing is just an hour away from Lexington and Louisville and just over 2 hours from Nashville, spearheaded by J.W. Wally Dant III and cousins Lynn and Charles. Family is at the heart of everything they do. If you want more information or book tours and tastings, go to thelogstilldistillery.com. Check it out, what they got going on down there in Dant Crossing with what they're building. They're getting close to getting that distillery, starting to set the distillery up, the structure. I imagine the way they were moving on that structure, that it's almost finished right now. The amphitheater, probably we're getting into it. You know, they had an awesome summer for that amphitheater, but what's going to come, it's just going to be awesome. We'll just keep covering it in the podcasts to come. But thank you, Wally, and Lynn and Charlie, for everything you guys have done with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and then also how much fun we had at Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
Absolutely. Thank y'all. And also one more honorable mention. I mean, you know, it's getting close to Thanksgiving. You know, who else but, you know, couldn't think but leave out a little bit of Jimmy Russell. But
yeah,
how about some Wild Turkey rare breed? I mean, barrel proof Wild Turkey. If this is goes for about $80 a bottle, this stuff is phenomenal. Number four char. I mean, you can get the regular Wild Turkey, the Wild Turkey 101, but you really want to have a good pour of Wild Turkey on your Thanksgiving day, and you want something really good in your collection, Super Nash recommends Wild Turkey rare breed barrel proof. With that, that's my honorable mention.
Well, it's really cool because I got that right on my Scotchy Bourbon Boys Jason Sparkman barrel shelf that it's right over here. And honestly, that bourbon, it's always readily available as a barrel proof. One of the few barrel proofs that are just cast strength, barrel proof, ready to go. It's reasonably priced, right around $36. It's just, or I've seen it for $40, but $36. But from the time I first tasted that in New York and the creamy caramelness of that barrel proof, it is one of the treasures and most under drank barrel proofs out there. The fact that that stays on the shelf and is always there proves that it's a secret that only really people who know how good it is.
Yes. And so that's why, like I say, you know,
that's a great honorable mention.
Would have said, you know, 10 bourbons, we could have listed so many, but that's what made it so hard of going to my collection that I got in there, and is probably close to, when I get these shelves finished, you'll see there's probably about 350 open different bottles now.
And about another 350 unopened.
Yeah. When you said you got to pick five, I was like, what? My heart dropped.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, it's, This list is suggestions for people to buy for their collections, not saying that these are our favorites, these are our whatever. There's so many out there that we could tell you about, but these are the ones that we say that when you're out there looking and it's there, you should get them. I mean, I just finished a bottle of Blade and Bow. I would suggest anybody see that on the shelf, jump on Blade and Bow. You know, but Buffalo Trace, same thing.
And like with Buffalo Trace, do you know how many other bottles right along with the same price point that I've got sitting in there?
You know,
I could have went along with.
Okay, so everybody, just so you know, this is Super Nash being kind to you all, okay? Because I'm going to throw him under the bus a little bit here.
How about Old Tub?
Yeah, Old Tub is fucking awesome. Yeah, for $18.99 is one of the best drinking bourbons out there. Yeah, but I'm still going to throw you under the bus. You got Buffalo Trace on one end, and you got Michter's Rye on the Michter's Single Barrel Rye on the other, and you talk about both of them are good for mixers. Folks, Super Nash doesn't fucking mix drinks. I've not even seen him put an old fashioned to his fucking lips the whole time we're ever there. He drinks bourbon neat, so don't let him think that he's here mixing anything. He's just doing this for you because he knows people like mixers because that's what they do, but you don't do mixers.
No, I don't.
I mean, you might if I have forced you to have a mixer at a Scotchy Bourbon Boys meeting.
Every now and then, you know, holidays, I might have one.
I mean, even me, I'm pretty much neat. Like, I'm doing one or two neat shots or neat pours a day at night, you know, whatever, just a little bit to relax. There's a few days, I won't have any, but that's rare. But at the same time, every once in a while, I'm kind of like, I really don't want the... And I'll put it on the rocks because having it on the rocks adds a little bit of sweetness to it. Now, most people would say I'm a bastard for that. But at the same time, I don't care. It's just the mood I'm in. I'm not in the mood for, you know, straight proof whiskey that warming me up. I want a little bit of refreshment to it. So I'll have that.
Remember I sent you up those clear ice things?
Yeah, I still use them, those circular ones.
You know, mine's been in the freezer with the same ice for
like since you sent it to me. Yeah, right. The ice has turned stale.
It seems like, yeah, they have probably became stale, but it's like.
And also there's no somebody else trying to take it out of.
Taste every bit of and nose every bit of the. Well, want any water to weaken it down unless I do a drop or two. I've found now that if I do, I will do a drop or two.
But all right. So now we got to get on to the little book because we've gone over an hour and we've only gone through your collection and we still got to do the little book and we can't shoot it off. But while you're getting ready, pouring up and everything, I want to say that Watershed Distillery, and Dimmick, Aaron Harris, and did you see they're doing the Bourbon Chino? Bourbon Chino. That is no Chino.
It's called Burchino.
Burchino. And they are excited about it. Is, I have no idea. They're making it instead of making Nochino, which is normally made with vodka, and it's fantastic. Nochino is made with walnuts and is sweet and it's creamy. Right. So they're now making it with bourbon. This is the first time, and they are raving about it. So they're going to be releasing that coming up. So I was talking to Aaron a little bit, and he was talking about the bourbon, the Burchino, and the Nochino. Nochino aged in bourbon barrels. It's bourbon barrel aged Nochino, and then also Burchino, which is Nochino made with whiskey or bourbon. And so it's kind of exciting. But so was I. And it's just like I'm getting, but it sounds like it sounds like it tastes fantastic. So I'm going to have to be getting down to, I think I'm going to stop off at the Watershed Distillery on my way back on that Sunday, the 5th, after we stop by.
Two bottles.
What?
Pick up two bottles.
Oh, I'll try if there is any left. They're having it. They're having the special thing. You do realize now there's four things on the on December 4th. There's, you know, what we're doing with Alan Bishop. Then we've got Robbie Whitaker. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wanting us to come to his distillery. And then I've got Watershed all on the 4th. I was invited down to for the Watershed event and I had to say no.
We're going to have to stop on the 3rd at Watershed. And hope.
No, not the 3rd. I'm going to, well, you want me to stop at the 3rd on Friday on the way down, Friday night on the way down, if I could get down there in time. I'll see before it closes. But anyways, stop by on Friday night before I, and then hit the hotel. All right. So that's something me and Xavier can do. Anyways, so Ann Dimmick from, formerly from Wild Turkey. And then also Aaron Harris from formerly Lux Row, but now working at Watershed. And then Greg Lehman, the owner, they have put together a really wonderful distillery now. And what they're doing is fantastic. Start checking out all the Watershed Distillery new product. So Watershed Distillery is Ohio's largest craft distillery and producer of the number one selling Ohio-made bourbon in the world. Open 7 days a week for tours and tastings and home to Watershed Kitchen and Bar, one of the top three restaurants in Columbus. Watershed Distillery is the perfect destination for great bourbon, exceptional food, and amazing craft cocktails. Learn more and book your tour at watersheddistillery.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and always drink responsibly. Cheers, everyone. So that gets us to Little Book. Little Chapter Book. 5.
The Invitation is the name.
Okay. Which is fantastic. And I see on the picture on the front, you see K, right? K and Freddie. Do you have a picture on yours? Or no? I wonder why I have a picture on mine. That is interesting. To the left, no picture.
You're seeing a reflection.
No. No, no, no. It's, I got to take a look at this with my.
Yes, you do.
So I got to think about where I got this bottle. You got this bottle for me. Why do I have a picture? Let me see. Maybe I got a special barrel pick of little. No, there's no such thing. But I got to take a look. Let's put the glass.
You got the wrong bottle.
What do you mean? How do I have the wrong bottle? This isn't the Invitation?
You've got a picture in. I've got a cheap bottle with no picture. Look, my label's crooked or something. But
wait, it's like, what do you got on the side? Wait, are you sure this is the Invitation?
Yes.
Fred No, Little Book. All right, let's see. I got to just like...
Does it say 2021 release?
This one says, yeah, 05-2021, Chapter 5, The Invitation. But I got a picture of Fred with the ladies. This is barreled and boxed. Bottle number 338 of 500. Thank you. I don't think I should have opened this.
Special bottling. I should have looked. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's bottled and boxed. James Beam, 338, 500 sticker, Fred with the ladies. It got K, and it looks like maybe Kay's, I don't know. It could be Kay's mom. It's definitely not Sandy. because this woman is very old. Oh my God, if it was Sandy, I would be in trouble. Much older than Sandy, put it that way.
Wow.
And then, well, thank you. Lucky me, according to you.
You owe me now.
What do I owe you? Besides, I already owe you my fucking soul.
All right, let's get on to the mash bill. Let's talk about
it. Listen to that. Wow, thanks for the picture, man. This is awesome. You made me feel special. You do realize you're going to see me December 17th, and it's not like I'm going to drink the whole bottle. We'll just finish it off together when you get up here.
No.
What? No?
Because I already know. I've set a bottle of what we're going to be opening. And
it doesn't matter. We're drinking this too.
Yeah. No.
Nope, you're not going to have any of this. You're just going to put your foot down. I get it all.
I'm not drinking that.
Why?
That's special.
Yeah, it's special for me and you. You're the one. Yeah, it's really special. You bought it and then sent it up to me without realizing that you actually bought it.
I'm just freaking think it's awesome that I got like a
special bottling. Where the hell did you pick them up at the same time?
No. I told you I won one of them for $20 in a raffle.
And that's the one, isn't it? You won the special bottling in the raffle.
Yeah, because I come back and open this one immediately. This was the one I picked up in North Carolina that I could only get. I picked up two of them. They had two bottles in North Carolina.
All right.
And I walked up to the counter with two of them.
So because you won this one for $20 in a raffle, you just sent it up.
As soon as that one came, I just repacked it and sent it to you. I didn't even look at it.
Okay. Anyways, that's really nice of you, because this little book chapter 5 was kind of special. And when I had COVID, I wasn't, when it hit the shelves, I usually can have no problem picking it up because it hits the shelves at its price point. It stays around for about a week. If you know it hit the shelves, you just go, it's there, you can buy it. And but I was down for about 3 weeks, so I wasn't able to pick this up. So Super Nash, out of the kindness of his heart, got me this bottle. And I'm happy because this batch has it's special to me, because when I went down to do the Knob Creek pick for Kentucky Bourbon Festival, Freddie was there, and he had brought samples of it how far he was, and it was I knew that this had a high rye. There was, and he, I asked him about, is this got rye, you know, what kind, it seems to be rye forward, and he told me that it had a malted rye, which is really kind of cool, because there's not a lot of malted ryes, you know, they're usually not toasting. It was a toasted malt rye that he used. And there's some, I believe you have exactly what the process and what's in it, correct?
Yes, I do.
So read away.
But first, that's what makes us that much more special, that you got that bottle. It was meant to be that you had that bottle with Freddie at Nose picture on it, and his wife and the ladies. I'm so glad you got it there, Tony.
I think I'll bring it with me next time I see him, and I got a bunch of bottles for him to sign, so I'll just have him sign it.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, great. That'd be even more awesome. Okay. All right. This little book is an ongoing annual release curated by Freddie No, 8th Generation. Member of Son of Current Bean Master Distiller Fred No. This year's edition, Chapter 5, has been titled The Invitation. Chapter 5 is a unique blend of whiskeys, a 2-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon, a 3-year-old Kentucky straight rye malt whiskey, a 5-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon, and a 15-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. The blend is bottled at uncut at 116.88 proof and is available nationwide.
So that was a 3-year-old Kentucky straight rye malted whiskey. Malt whiskey. I don't even know what the fuck that would have been, where he's pulling that from. But he can pull anywhere he wants. I mean, he has Canadian. I mean, this is a Beam Suntory. Suntory, he can put Japanese if he wants. It's all there. He has the whole spectrum out there, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you figure who he is, he's got connections everywhere. I mean,
One of the coolest things I got.
He can reach into just about any warehouse in Kentucky he wants to. I can imagine, right?
Right, and then he's doing this blending, which blending is now. This is Little Book Chapter 5. He's been blending for 5 years. You're talking about in the last 5 years when he started blending. Blending almost was unheard of in bourbon. Exactly. I mean, you got a lot of blenders now. You got Barrelcraft blending, just straight blending, not distilling. I mean, he's picking from his own company's distillate, so they're distilling and then blending. And one of the cool things he said to me that I had no idea is that you can take one barrel and it tastes this way. And you can take another barrel and it tastes this way. And when you blend them together, you can get stuff that didn't taste that way or that way, and it tastes another way. You can get flavors that didn't exist in the two barrels you blended, and now you blend them together, and you've got flavors, pleasant flavors that weren't there in the other two barrels before you blended them. And that, to me, blew my mind. It's like, I would just be like a kid in the candy store blending away, because it's just like the endless possibilities. But then knowing as you're going and you're finding this barrel and you're that barrel, and after a while you kind of start to get what's going on, you know, after a while, after 5 years, he's got to really start to understand what's going on, right? He figures it out. So, but at the same time, there's always these pleasant surprises or crappy things that you want to wash down you got to add some more in or whatever. But I mean, it's a skill and you don't want to waste the whiskey. So I'm sure.
Now, being that said, which leads me to our future adventure as we learn more about blending bourbons together, because we're going to learn more about it as we go along.
Yeah.
We're going down to Bourbon 30 Distilling, okay, which is a little bit southern part of Bardstown and Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
We'll be able to go in there to do 100 barrels of bourbon, whiskey, and rye, and they'll take us through, and we'll be able to go through and blend our own bottles of whiskey. That's your experience. And they'll go with you and help you experience and go through. You can blend up to one bottle or 1,000 bottles and create your own labels, your own wax toppings, and everything on the bottle.
That's really cool. I look forward to 2022 immensely. 2021's finishing up pretty fucking cool, but I'm pretty much with my hands strapped after missing 3 weeks of work. I don't have a lot of time off. So it's basically weekend bombs is what I'm doing. And you know, you're coming up, and I'll probably pull you down to my work, my plant, for part of the time. But when you come up, I know you're coming up on Thursday, and I work Thursday and Friday, but we'll figure it out.
Actually, on that Thursday, I'm leaving from Cleveland, and I'm going down to our sponsor, Watershed Distillery.
No, you're not. You're not going without me. No, yes, you can't. You can't go out without me. Yes, I am. You don't know Aaron.
It don't matter. I'm an insider. I know somebody that knows somebody.
Okay. Now you're going to make me take work off. You.
No, you
can't. Yeah.
You told me to find. You were going to send me to the Football Hall of Fame. I'd rather go to Watershed Distillery.
What about? I was sending you to the Cleveland distilleries, not the Columbus one.
Well.
I want to introduce you to them. I don't want you just to go down there by yourself, alone, super Nash, you know. It's like, you know.
Okay, I'm a big boy. Yeah. I can drink by myself.
Yeah, but I know their bourbon bar, and I know what kind of pours they have, and I need to go there with you.
You gotta work. Okay, let's get back to the little book.
You're such a bastard. Oh, my God.
Jealous.
Yeah, of course I'm jealous, you fucker. Anyways, yeah, the little book. Let's do you have your pour yet? Did you get it in there?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Actually, I sipped it by accident.
I get tons of brown sugar.
Oh my gosh.
And a little bit, believe it or not, I just pulled a little bit of orange. A little, not a Parker Heritage or in Carrasco piss water, as you referred to it, right?
Yeah, it's not that orange piss.
You know, it's funny because you're referring to it, and you know the one thing I could taste all along is citrus. So the main bottle I was sipping out of is the Parker Heritage that you gave me, because I could actually, instead of whiskey tasting completely like straight rubbing alcohol, at least the Parker Heritage sounded like someone squeezed an orange in the rubbing alcohol. So I was like happy with that one, even though, you know, initially, it's funny how you cling to different whiskeys based off of what's happening to you. You know, it's just kind of like.
Now I want to go back to it because.
But how can you? But how the fuck can you go back to it since you gave me your bottle?
I'm coming up there,
brother. Oh yeah, but you're gonna have to be drinking this little book instead of the orange Carrasco. I won't let you do that.
Yes. I'm glad you're saving me.
Yeah, I'm on your side. You know that. I won't let you do stuff that you regret. Whiskey.
I'm getting just a little bit of like orange zest. Like
yeah.
Where you.
Brown sugar, orange zest.
It's real sweet.
Yeah, almost like a candy, an orange flavored candy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like those, I can't get it in my head, but like a Christmas candy orange.
Yeah. Like those sugars that are lemons, orange, and limes. When you bite into it, it's just got sugar and it's like a gummy almost.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shaped like oranges, lemons, and limes. Hot. No, it smells delicious. It's got a lot of brown sugar, a little bit of honey, a little bit of orange.
A little bit of vanilla. Lots of brown sugar.
A little bit of spice.
Very, very little spice. Maybe just a little cinnamon. Or it could be the ethanol. It's either cinnamon or ethanol.
God, in the glass, it just smells fantastic. That's pretty damn good, yes. Freddie. All right, let's taste it.
I'm getting cinnamon and spice right off the bat.
I get cinnamon and spice on my back palate. Dark chocolate on that finish. And let's see how long this is going to go. It's there. It's kind of stuck on my back of my tongue.
I got cinnamon and spice right at front. But then I get chocolate and vanilla across the mid palate.
See, with me, I'm getting the orange on the front. That time, the cinnamon's there and the spice, but the orange in the middle, and then the chocolate. I get, at one point, I get like a little bit of orange and a dark cocoa, you know, a dark cocoa chocolate, not a lot of sugar. It's not, but it's definitely a very, very, not a sweet. It's a dark, not a sweet, dark chocolate. It's a dark chocolate, very little sugar, but at the same time, it lasts a good, and a little bit of charcoal, just a little bit of like,
a little bit of char
right at the right there, like a fire char, like a fresh fire, like if you would put that after the fire, the embers.
Cinnamon right at the back.
Yeah, this one is 116 proof, but it doesn't drink really. And the hug, I mean, the hug is delayed. I mean, it's it's like it doesn't happen at front where it does, but then on the finish, it starts to.
Happen right up here. It happens way, you know, like,
way at the back of your back of your throat, in the back into your chest.
Yeah, down in the chest.
It doesn't
happen down in the throat part. It happens down in the chest.
All right, folks. Our barrel bashing system for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys is four categories, four barrel bashes each category. But if one category is exceptional, one, but you can break the rules every once in a while, but you can give it a butt up, meaning that you gave it 5 out of 4. So the best score you can give for a bourbon, 17 out of 16, although we have had a couple 18 out of 16. So I think, do you remember what last year's bourbon, Scotchy Bourbon Boys Bourbon of the Year was?
Yeah.
I think you remember.
And it was a whiskey.
It was Little Book Chapter 3. But Little Book Chapter 3 was not a bourbon, but it was 2020. And 2020 was a fuck fest. 2021 was not a fuck fest, but it was a year that I lost a whole month of my life. So it somewhat, it was life altering for me. 2021 was life altering. The 2020 was a fuck fest because we made Little Book Chapter 3, not a bourbon, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys Bourbon of the Year, full well knowing it wasn't a bourbon. So it just deserved. It was a fantastic, fantastic whiskey. There's no doubt.
Our rating of Bourbon of the Year.
Yes. And cheers to Freddie on another. I mean, this little book to me means so much to me, being able to taste it before market and what it tasted like. And now to taste it, I don't know if he tweaked it or whatever, but in the bottle coming to me, you send me this special bottle of, you know, of Little Book. And it's just, Little Book means so much to me. Cheers, brother. There's no doubt. And let's get on with the barrel bashing.
Absolutely.
A lot more now that it's been in the glass a little bit and is a little lower. Still get that orange, but I get a lot more caramel. Caramel, that's vanilla.
Beautiful color, everybody. That is such a beautiful, beautiful color.
Yeah, it's an amber, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful honey amber.
Yeah, it's 116 proof, and there's a, what did you say, a 20-year or a 15-year? There's a 15-year in here.
Yeah, right. 15, in which we don't know how much of the 15-year.
Wait, we might. Hold on.
It doesn't say how much of the 15-year bourbon is in there.
You see,
I don't tell the percentages of what is in there.
Not like Booker's?
Even on the card. Yeah, even on the card.
Well, I might have a special card, you know.
You might. You got a special bottle, you might have a special card. Your card looks blue. Mine is gray. Is yours a bluer color?
No, it's
gray. A light gray.
Yeah. Little Book Chapter. Yeah, it just says 5-year It just says 3 year, 5 year.
2, 3, 5, and 15, right?
2, 3, 5, and 15, yep.
Yeah.
2021.
The same thing as the notes that I pulled up on it. It doesn't say
golden exactly. Golden amber, I hit that on the thing. Complex blend of oak, caramel, and subtle smoke, like you said. Caramel and toasted bread with brown sugar is undertones and a touch of
sweetness. Yeah. Oh, I see that now.
Let's put some more in my glass.
I hear you.
That is definitely, I should be able to tell the difference. That's a lot more caramel. That I had some Kentucky cream of Kentucky, which you sent me like 2 years ago that I opened up because you were talking about your top five and I had to get through a little bit to wake me up. Not that you were boring me, but just to wake me up as far as because you never bore me, Super Nash. You're the guy.
I've got a new cream of Kentucky. Wait. I haven't even opened up in there.
You got like 50,000. It's like that, folks. This is how it works. He goes on every trip. He goes to Kentucky. He bottles like two or three himself. He picks up a bunch from the distilleries that he stops at. Then he also hits about 14 liquor stores. He comes back with at least 20 some bottles to 30 some bottles. This is the least. But then he gets home. He cracks one or two like in the first 2 days. And the rest go to the back of the shelves and you never hear from them. And so, yeah, he's got 350 opened, but there's like 700 in the every crack and nook and cranny of his house. And like he just said, oh, I got a cream of Kentucky that I haven't opened yet. Well, he got that a while back. And if you asked him to find it right now, it could be a challenge. Oh, okay. Yes, he does have that ability. So he's, yes.
I got two closets in here that are slap full now. And then I got, and the reason I know this is because I got a kitchen cabinet in there because
that's full. Because he went to
pots and pans out.
Yeah, because we went to Four Roses over in September in Kentucky Bourbon Festival. And he saw that it was in an old house and they had all the kitchen cupboards cleaned out and all the bourbon in, and he's just like, hey, that's a good idea for my kitchen cupboards.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but Sherry always got on to me, you keep moving my dishes. Well, finally I moved all our dishes out of that one.
Yeah, cabinet. Yeah, you moved
that one cabinet. Well, it became two kitchen cabinets.
Yeah, and then she moved back out and then you took over all the kitchen cabinets. But then We got the news that I could be getting a good amount of bourbon coming up. You never know, because those cabinets might have to be cleaned out again. Oh no, that's a yeah. That's what he says, folks. I know how this works. I've been, you know, secretly messaging. I've been messaging Sherry for the last 3 months to get this down so I could get some more bourbon. And it's working. He's like, hey, I'm like, hey, where are you at? I'm at breakfast with Sherry. Hey, where are you at? We just finished a ride. I'm just like, good job, Sherry. I love you too.
Get to me and my bourbon heart.
Yes, but it's not like I need any more there. You've got my collection sitting at 327 bottles myself. What?
Like 320 mini.
No, it's 327 bottles. You can actually drink part of your collection. I don't even come close. I open it, and so what? We should make this a thing. I did final pour month. This month is all about final pours. Anything that's low and getting too low, I've been finishing off the bottle. I've finished off 7 bottles in the last 2 weeks because the pours are low, you know, although I don't want to finish off the Elmer T. Lee or the George T. Stagg. I don't. They're just special bottles to me, but, and they're not too far. They're like a quarter left. Whereas like the Blade and Bow is just one pour, or the Chicken Cock, I had one pour of the 15 year. It's going to evaporate. And I don't want it to evaporate out if you just leave it and forget about it. So I've been hitting those.
That's what kind of got me about this Pick Your Five. I wanted to put Chicken Cock in there because I love Chicken Cock. The regular Chicken Cock whiskey. And oh, my God.
Thanks for.
Because I had to pick five. Thank you, Craig Schneider. I like Chicken Cock and, you know. Because Jeff made me, you know, cut it down to, you know, whittle it down. You know, I couldn't put.
Yeah, you didn't need any. You didn't need any possum cock or turtle cock. You just chicken cock. I just fucking did what Greg Schneider hates, but. You were talking about chicken cock. So I did find out a little bit about that.
Yep.
That is going to be the commemorative holiday, which he doesn't think that might not make the holiday. It's bottling, but it's a little late to be distributed for the holiday. So it might be pushed back. But also it's going to come in a commemorative tin. And he said the bottle price was, he was talking about how it was good. It was a source thing that he didn't have too much, you know, Greg didn't, whatever. But it's going to retail, I believe, at $499 a bottle. So he said it was good, but he wasn't sure, you know, but overall.
All right.
That's
a little bit.
I think he will be able to taste that. I'm trying to work out seeing Mr. Schneider.
I'm going to score a couple bottles.
Okay. But we might see Mr. Schneider on that Friday night, Mr. Nash. Stop by. You know, we're going to be in Indy fucking Anna. So we might as well see Mr. Schneider while we're there. If he doesn't have anything what about that?
For dinner?
We'll see, because El Popsadero, I mean, that last time we were there, that was some wild ass shit that went down, wasn't it? That was a party.
Yes, it was.
But I can't believe, you know, it's like they're coming out with that release, and it's going to be something. I think it's going to be pretty good, because, you know, he was just talking about how it.
Pretty good. Have you ever tasted anything from Greg Schneider and Chicken Cock Whiskey that was less than pretty good?
Right. That's for sure.
I mean, no doubt.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind, and, you know, Greg goes all out, and I know what he does and his dedication to whiskey and bourbon, and no doubt it's going to be great and fantastic, and I'm going to do what I can to score a bottle of it.
Okay. It should be.
Yeah, I hope that he'll be in town that Friday night, and maybe we can get together and.
Yeah, he said something. You know, we might be able to get a sample, so we'll see. But with that said. Let's get on to barrel bashing before we get into the 2-hour mark. We're at. I'm going to say that the nose is very pleasant. I love the caramel. I love the vanilla. And I love the orange citrus that's there. So I am actually going to give the nose a 4. And I am so happy that my nose has returned completely. Today I was smelling long distance smells because there for a while it was really rough to pull stuff out. I was able to, but it's easy now. There's no doubt this smells like delicious. There's almost, you know what? Now I'm getting a milk dud, like a chocolate caramel in there.
Vanilla.
And
a little bit of spice.
The orange is not as prevalent as it was when we first off the neck pour.
When I first started nosing it, that orange zest was just
strong as shit. Yeah, I agree. So I gave it a 4 out of the.
I'm giving it a 3.
That orange kind of like turns you off a little, doesn't it?
No, I love it. It's not like, yeah, we won't get into the Heaven Hill stuff, orange curacao.
I think we did. Let's go body.
I think it's got a pretty good thick body.
Well, when you do it in the glass, you know, there's so many drips and they're medium. They're not whatever, but they're the most drips I've ever seen separate before in my life. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah, they start appearing pretty quick.
Yeah, and there's so many of them. I've never seen that many. So, you know, in the glass, it does kind of a spectacular looking thing. And then it's full flavor. Now this time, now that I'm drinking it now, there's a lot of cinnamon. A little orange on the front, the cinnamon to the dark chocolate. But
bacon spice. Lots of bacon spice.
Yeah, but a lot of bacon. Almost like bacon. There's but it's chocolate. It's funny how it, as you just keep drinking a bourbon or a whiskey, it changes. But when it comes to the body, I think it fills your mouth fully. It fills cheeks, nose, you know, everything. I have to give the body a 4. There's no doubt about it. 116.54 proof. Here we go.
I have to agree. It does have a good
mouth feel.
Fills the cheeks all the way out. Nice full thickness in the glass. I got to give it a 4 too.
All right. The next level. The taste.
To me, this is where it really stands out. Each time I'm tasting this, is really pulling out different flavors. Chocolate, caramel, vanilla, the orange zest. Each time I'm tasting it, cinnamon, a little bit of bacon spice, like clove and almost bread dough.
Right.
Yeah,
a yeasty kind of flavor. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. At the last part, my mouth feels like that bread doughy taste. I'm going to have to give it a 4.
All right. I got to taste it one more time.
I want you to be sure, so taste it and taste it fully, Tiny. Taste it fully.
The difference between this year's and last year's. Mm-hmm. Last year's was sweeter.
Yeah.
Now, with this said, there's a rye taste in it for me. But not the kind of rye that I don't like. So this dark chocolate mixed with rye makes this, it's almost like rye bread at a Jewish delicatessen. Now, I stole that from Whiskey Fellow and Jeff Schwartz, because he was tasting Johnny Walker Rye, High Rye. And it's a $35 bottle. We're going to be getting it because he said it was exactly, he referred to the rye. And I'm getting the rye in there, a rye spice. Now, you know me, I don't like the celery, this of that. I like what Michter's pulls out of rye. And this is the same kind of flavor that Michter's is pulling out of rye. Okay. So, and then you add that chocolate, that dark chocolate taste to it, but it's not sweet. So there's a lot of people on the planet that love sweetness of the whiskeys, because I do. I do. I was a vanilla flavored ice cream. I love caramel and turtle sundaes and pecans. And, you know, that was what I liked. I liked vanilla. I wasn't a huge chocolate. I liked chocolate, but I preferred vanilla and whatever. And to get a dark chocolate and you're getting some vanilla and you're getting some orange, all unique things. So this is very complex. There's no doubt about it. But it's like, then as a personal decision, you have to make sure that as the complexity of what's going on, is that what you actually want out of a bourbon or out of a whiskey in this case? And I would have to say it's a very unique, pleasurable experience that I haven't had before, right? So when you think about it, if you haven't had it,
especially you with rye, yeah.
Yeah, and definitely, I don't know if you call this a rye, considering there's a 15-year-old bourbon in it, you know what I mean? But this is a blend of rye and whatever, and it breaks all the rules of what you can do. Similar to what, see now, when you take Near Perfection and what Matt Jackson did with the Near Perfection 14-year, which is like, sweet caramel fucking deliciousness and it's got Canadian whiskey in it and whatever. But like I said, when you're getting into this blending, it's making such a unique experience. I'm going to have to give it, it's unique enough. I'm going to give it a 4.
Well, another thing too, each one of these parts of this bourbons have a rye component in their blending, you know, in their,
yeah,
you know, so you're picking up parts of those ryes.
Well, and that malted rye is to me adds a deliciousness,
yeah.
But it, if I had to pick anything, I like sweeter type, like rare breed. I mean, it's just like, it's almost like caramel sauce that you pour on a fucking ice cream. It's that good, but this isn't that. This is a way different experience, but I can appreciate that experience and give it a 4. So let's get on to the finish.
You go with the finish.
I'm finished. So I have to add, I have to have some more. Hey, look, Super Nash. Super Nash, it's
so I don't have to pour no more.
Look, it's no longer a neck pour.
Absolutely not.
Let's just do a little.
You just popped yours tonight.
Yeah. I popped it. Wait, I put the cover back. I pour it. And hey, why is this upside down and nothing's coming out? Oh, Jesus God. Oh, now it won't come out at all. Okay. I even got a pop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Love that sound every time.
Let's see. That would have, I mean, I was just trying to put a little. I had the whole thing upside down. I'm like, why isn't it empty? So anyways.
That's cool.
Let's try it one more time for the finish. Now we've got the third. All right.
Love the finish. Sweet.
Oh, this time.
Little cigar box.
Dude.
Tobacco.
This time I'm picking up a little sweetness that I wasn't in the chocolate. Yeah. Okay. All right. The finish just with the sweetness off the non-neck pour. Okay. Coming down. I'm picking up a little milk chocolate with the dark chocolate.
Are you getting the chocolate, but are you getting any tobacco or like sweet cigar box or anything like that? Or
no, I don't get the cigar box. I get the dark chocolate. Wait, no, I'm getting tobacco.
Tobacco.
This time I'm getting milk chocolate. So the first couple of times it just was this rich dark chocolate with no sugar. Now I'm getting a little sweetness and I get a little milk chocolate, but I get a little tobacco. This is a long, long finish. I can't give it a butt up. What was that? Oh, I finally knocked it over. All right. My Kentucky Mueller cup. I'll have to give that recipe again. That was.
And I'm not there yet, so it ain't a Kentucky Mueller cup until I get there.
You're okay. So when we're podcasting, when you're up here, we will give out the Kentucky Mueller recipe because that still exists. I wrote that down. That was from the first season.
Absolutely.
A lot of things have changed since then, haven't they?
Absolutely. Man, so many good things have changed since then, brother.
I mean, that last trip down to Kentucky and the treatment that we had in Kentucky and what happened. I mean, I still can't believe Lisa. Here's a shout out to Lisa Roper Wicker. It was wonderful meeting you. She makes delicious bourbon, and within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing a Widow Jane. Lisa Roper Wicker. Maybe I should contact her and just pull her on for what we're gonna taste. That would be kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. And matter of fact, I'll go ahead and box this stuff up because it's got those samples of the Widow Jane 15-year vaults.
Sure. Wait. I got the 14. I got the 14-year vault.
Yeah, I just got the 15-year, remember? Along with your
benchmarks. But don't box it the fuck up. Just bring it December 4th.
No, because I want to go ahead and send these samples up.
All right. I'm all for.
Yeah, because there's no way we can get this together before then.
Just bring it with. Yeah, I'll schedule it for her sometime. You know,
quit rambling.
I gave it a 4.
Oh, did you?
I gave the finish. We had milk chocolate. And I gave it a 4. And once again, it didn't get a butt up. But I just gave this. I just gave. Little book a 16 out of 16, and Freddie deserves it because there's not very many people that think this is a bad whiskey.
I am getting lots of dark chocolate, and a sweet cigar box with a nice good medium hug on it. I'm loving this finish on it. I gotta give it a 4 too. Thanks, Freddie. I like
Super Nash gives it a 15 out of 16. Tiny gives it a 16 out of 16, and the Scotchy Bourbon Boys give it a 15.5 out of 16 for the barrel bashing. Well deserved. It's what I remember. I mean, the rye balance. It's fantastic in this. I mean, that's why it's on the level of, you know, that perfection. This is an honest to God, you know, rating. It's not just because we've met Freddie or had good times with Freddie. It's because Freddie's producing damn good whiskey, and his palate is right on for a lot of people. If you like, I mean, chocolate and milk chocolate and have that orange initially, you know, there's a lot of skill to that.
Two different bottles. So, you know, came from two different places and, you know, all had to came pretty much come from the same batch, but you know,
he only makes so much and it all gets bottled and sent across the country. And
yeah,
one, this was actually a special 500 bottling for, you know, but at the same time, it's, I think it was coming from the same batch. I mean, cause he was talking about what he did to get that batch to where it is and how much blending it, you know, how much fun blending is.
I've done found it where I love smelling the empty glass.
All right. Yeah. Sometimes you can pull so many much, you pull so many more caramels and, you know, just flavors out of that. And, you know, you smell it the next day and it's even more caramely. You know, if you just leave it.
When I get through with this podcast and stuff, I always go wash my glasses.
But here, I've got so many. So what I do normally on the night, because I don't drink a lot, you know, on regular nights besides the podcast and when I'm drinking, I'll have a pour before bed. So it just sits on the dresser till the next morning when I take, I'll just put it on the dresser. But I'll smell it that next morning. And it'd just be way more caramely, way more chocolatey. You know, it's just delicious. So with that said, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Please support us on Patreon. When you're at the Scotchy Bourbon Boys website, we're in the top right-hand corner. Hit that Patreon button and figure out a way to support us. We love everything you guys do for us. What were you going to say there, Super Nash?
Go to our YouTube page and subscribe to our YouTube page because we've got some giveaways coming up. It's Christmas time. It's the holidays. It's Thanksgiving.
And this might blow your fucking socks off because just so you know, Super Nash, although Roxy might not just be totally on board with what we were talking about as far as that special bottle, I've already saved the money. I'll be bringing it to you December 4th. You'll get that bottle. We'll give that fucking bottle away, but we're going to demand some damn good YouTube following to get for someone to get that bottle, and that'll happen. So
do you want me to release it right now? No. We're going to do it.
No, we got to get it set up, exactly what's going to happen, the details.
But trust me, y'all. Stay tuned. Follow us on YouTube.
So we should have a Christmas giveaway and a New Year's giveaway. Yep. The contest might not happen. You might not get your bottle at Christmas, but the contest will happen over Christmas and over New Year's. So that's our goal.
Yep. There's going to be a Christmas giveaway.
Bourbon Claws is there, who has 700 bottles stored. I mean, so you guys, he was talking about his kitchen, his living room, his closets, his everywhere, but he hasn't even told you about his basement. Anyways, because we all know that's where the best place to store your bourbon is. Yep.
Got a couple more trips scheduled here in the next couple of weeks up to Kentucky. So
check us out on, you already see, you know about YouTube. Please subscribe. And then also
bourbonboys.com
and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're everywhere. If you want to ask us a question, you can contact me through the Facebook group. Jeffrey Mueller, you could through Facebook, but also the Scotchy Bourbon Boys at gmail.com is our email. Any questions, suggestions for the podcast? Very much welcome.
You can ask Siri to play the Scotchy Bourbon Boys or Alexa to play the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and she will.
Yeah, we are on all the bourbon podcasts, but remember, everybody,
media that plays your favorite podcast, we're there. So check us out.
And remember, good bourbon equals good friends and good times, and everybody go out there and live fucking dangerously. That's true, and I made it, and I'm still here, and I'm living, man.
Whiskey bar, tell you we must die.